Now let's look at a real prayer in the scriptures and see how this actually came about. If you will stand with me, we will read and because of time, I'm going to skip a few verses that reinforce what he's saying. I'll tell you when I do that. In the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, by descent of Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must come to pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We've not listened to your servant, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day. To the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are near and far away in all the lands, you have driven them because of the treachery that they have committed against you. Come down to verse 11. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice, and the curse and the oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. He has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and our rulers who ruled us, by bringing upon us a great calamity. For under the whole of heaven there's never been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. Come down to 16. Lord, according to your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill, because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem, and your people who have become a byword around us. Now, therefore, O God, listen to the prayer of your servant and his pleas for mercy. For your own sake, O Lord, make your face shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not, for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in a vision at first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Daniel lived in a fascinating time of world history. It was a time when nations were crumbling and other great powers were rising and grabbing power. Very much like the time in our own history when communism fell in such a very short period of time. You remember watching the scenes of the Berlin Wall fall. What we didn't know was that on the other side, the east side of the Berlin Wall, there were 15,000 people gathered praying the wall would fall. God was doing great things. God was doing great things in Daniel's day. He wrote this book with two main purposes in mind. The book's divided in two parts. The first half, he discusses the things that will happen to the nations of the world. Amazing prophecies. The last half, he speaks of what will happen to God's people and the coming of the Messiah. It is a book that builds confidence in God's word because of the clearness of its prophecy. And it points to Christ, who will rule in this world. And then it shows how Christ enables his people to live in a pagan world. In chapter 9, all three of these are very present. It contains an amazing prophecy that predicted the very day that Christ himself would enter Jerusalem in the triumphal entry. And as we look at it and put it together with other scriptures, we find the very day that Christ entered Jerusalem. It's a clear prophecy. For our purposes, we've read this amazing prayer that Daniel is praying. Our focus is not to preach the prophecy of the passage, but rather to learn from this man's prayer, how he prayed for his community and for the will of God. I want you to understand, first of all, the context of what is happening here. We know that Daniel was taken captive in 605 B.C. The book of Jeremiah tells us that. And we also know that Daniel was taken into captivity, that this says he was serving Darius, who was appointed by Cyrus to be to work under him, and as Daniel says about whom he records, and that it was in 539 B.C. We have those extra biblical records. Therefore, if you put those dates together, what you find is Daniel has been a captive for just under 70 years. Here is a young boy, 12 to 16 when he's captured, and now 67 years later, he's 80 plus, still serving God. It's important to establish this timetable because Daniel, according to his daily purpose, was reading the Word of God. And he was reading the book of Jeremiah. And as he was reading the book of Jeremiah, here's what he read. He read chapter 25, verse 8 and 14. Thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, because you, O Israel, I will send the tribes of the north and for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants. And this whole land will become a ruin and a waste, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And then after 70 years completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, making their land an everlasting waste. As Daniel read those words, his heart leapt because he realized he was living in the fulfillment of those very words. What God said was true. But not only was it true, that must also mean that it's time for the Lord to come back and take us home. And once he realized that, the scripture says that he fell on his face and he prays to God. Oh God, the one who keeps covenant, who is steadfast in love, hear our prayer. He is realizing that God is going to come back and get them because he read further in Jeremiah 29:10, where God says, after 70 years, I will fulfill my gracious promise and I will return you to the land. He is overjoyed. Now, what do we learn as we read this prayer? I think several things. First, it is a prayer of tremendous fervency. He is claiming the promise of God And he humbles himself in the custom of the day by putting on shabby clothes and by sitting in ashes. And they would have gotten the ashes from the altar of sacrifice. And literally, in a sense, he is praying based on a sacrifice. You can take that much further in its meaning. And he prays with great urgency. Secondly, we see it as a prayer that begins with confession and repentance. And that's the longest part of this prayer. 12 verses, he confesses the sins of him, his family, his people, his nation, past and present. And he acknowledges the truth of God, that God's covenant is real, that the law of Moses, as was stated in Leviticus 26 and in Deuteronomy, they have disobeyed. And God said, if you didn't obey me, I will cast you out of the land. God was patient with Israel for almost 1,000 years. And then he said, enough is enough. And he threw them out of the land. But with the promise that he would come back in 70 years. And Dowling's acknowledges that God is right in this calamity. They have no excuse. And he says in verse 13, Lord, we not only have no excuse for the past, we have no excuse for the present, because we still haven't turned to your truth, to your word, to see what you have said and to confess our sins. And then we come to his request in verses 15 to 19. And he asks that God would take his wrath away from their land, from Jerusalem, from our fathers, from your people, he says. And he asks God to listen and to have mercy, to see their desolation and what they're in. And he correctly adds, he said, not because of our righteousness, but because of your mercy. You see, he understands grace. And then he says, Lord, boldly forgive, act, do not delay. For your sake, for your city, for your name. And that's his prayer. It is a prayer based on hearing the truth in God's word. But I want you to notice as well the response. Because the response is equally amazing. It says, while he was praying, in the middle of his confession, he never finished. God sends an angel, Gabriel. And notice it says that Gabriel came to him in swift flight. Wouldn't you like to have seen that? Well, like a stealth bomber. And there he is. God, I got here as fast as I could. Daniel. It shows God's desire. He says, Daniel, I wanted to give you insight and understanding. But then notice the willingness of God to respond. Gabriel says in verse 23, at the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out. Please notice, at the beginning of your plea of mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. And then finally notice he gives him a command. He says, now consider and understand what I am saying. In other words, don't take lightly my answer. This, in addition, as the information is given, Daniel is still pondering what does it mean? And he continues to pray in chapter 10. And in chapter 10, verse 14, I think there's one other thing for us to see here. Gabriel comes again and says, Daniel, we were praying for more understanding. And he said, and when you started praying, again, I was bringing you the answer. But he said, I ran into spiritual warfare. And he says, the princes of Persia, the demons of Persia, faced me off, and I had to fight them for 21 days. And then finally, your great angel Michael came and helped me, and I brought you the answer. Telling us of the persistence of Daniel, still seeking, what do you want to say to me, God? Now let me summarize this for us. What we can say is this. God had ordained or predetermined that Israel would return to the land after 70 years. Secondly, he revealed that in his word. Thirdly, Daniel is obediently reading the word of God prayerfully. Fourthly, the Spirit of God opens Daniel's eyes to the will of God, which prompted him to pray, which immediately caused the event to come into action. You hear the little conversation we just read earlier? But notice, Daniel doesn't know this, and so his prayer is fervent. His confession is deep and complete. But then you notice his petitions are extremely bold. And that's what we're going to talk about next time. What does it mean to pray boldly? But why are they so bold? Because he saw that they were based on the Word of God, and that God would bring them back. He promised to bring them back. And so he prays with boldness. And therefore God was eager to answer his prayer, because it had been ordained that his will would be done. Now you might be saying, well, I'm not a Daniel, and my prayers are not for the big, huge program of God. Are they? Don't be so quick. It takes us to James, who says, the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much, accomplish much. My friends, you are righteous because of Christ. You wear his robes of righteousness because of his death for you. Therefore, the promise says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, you qualify as a righteous man or woman. Not because anything in and of yourself, but because it's been given to you. So that leaves the effective prayer. And I believe the effective prayer is the prayer that's based out of the Word of God. That leaves the fervent prayer. And I think you see this in a humble, repentant, confessing attitude. Daniel shows that he is willing to take whatever God tells him, and God's will be accomplished. Martin Luther said this: to have prayed well is to have studied well. I want to give you three things to take home with you to do. One, make your prayers out of Scripture. Read the Scripture, and what do they lead you to pray? Secondly, persist at least 21 days. That's what Daniel had to do, because the angels were fighting to bring the answer to him. I thought about that, and I just created a little card that has 21 days on it. And I put the key request that I think I should pray over here, and I pray for him at least 21 days. And thirdly, search your hearts, because the repentant, humble heart creates a heart that is willing to hear and to do the will of God, and thus fulfill what Jesus tried to teach us when the apostle said, Lord, teach us to pray. And what he taught us was, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now listen, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. That's what we pray. Lord, may your will in my life happen, because I am understanding your will from your word. And I am beseeching you with power, with boldness, because you have said it. Hear, O Lord, forgive. Do not delay. I need you. I need your answer. And as we do this individually, we will become collectively the praying community. Let me pray for us. Great and mighty God, worthy are you. And thank you, Father, that you have revealed your truth to us in your word. We respond and we pray and we seek you. Great is thy name and worthy are you. Great God. Amen.